Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The word rest has a variety of meanings. It may be used to describe the period of time in which one is at ease after a period of work. It may also be used to describe a period of sleep. It is even used to describe the state of death. We say that the departed one is at rest. In other usages, the word rest applies to an object that is not moving, or to a brief break in a speech or a musical composition. Finally, rest may also be applied to the remnant of something, as in, throw the rest of it away. For many of us, especially those whose days are filled with various kinds of work, we look forward to resting at the end of the day's labor. Physically and emotionally, we absolutely must have this rest. It is how our minds and our bodies refresh and strengthen themselves for the next day's labor. Many of us also anticipate that time in our lives when we will be able to retire from our occupations and enjoy that particular rest during our golden years. The principles of work and rest are well established in the Scriptures and go all the way back to creation. They are manifested in both physical and spiritual applications, and are therefore important to us as we seek to follow God's Word. For a few moments today, we will survey these principles from the Scriptures and then focus our attention on the rest that is promised to God's people. The principle of work begins with our God and the work of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Here in these brief words is the divinely inspired account of how the universe came into existence. We have here in Genesis 1 the act of God calling matter into existence, and then His shaping it into the perfect dwelling place for mankind. That this activity was work is attested to in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Here the Scripture says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done." The Son of God, of course, was also a party to this work, as Paul described it in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. In that place he said, "He," meaning Christ, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." So all three members of the Godhead were present and active in creation. They all worked. Their work did not stop with creation, however. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus told the Jews, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Then, as the Lord prayed to His Father on the night of His betrayal in John chapter 17 and verse 4, He said, "I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do." The principle of work is perfectly modeled by our Father in heaven and by our Savior, Jesus Christ. The principle of work for mankind also goes back to creation. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, the Scripture says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." This was immediately after God prepared the garden as the place for man to live. The point, of course, is that God intended from the beginning for mankind to work. The toil and difficulty that we often associate with work was part of the punishment for Adam and Eve's sin, but work was always a part of God's plan for them. Going hand in hand with the principle of work is the principle of rest, And once again, our Father in heaven is the perfect model for it. When he had completed the work of creation, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us that God rested from his work. Now, he did not rest because he was tired. He rested because his work of creation was done. After his day of rest, God went back to work on the important business of the salvation of mankind, which continues to this day. The Lord also rested at different times during his ministry on the earth. He taught this important lesson to the 12 when they returned from having gone out to preach and to teach. In Mark chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, when they reported to him all that they had done and taught, the scripture says, "And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while.' For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves." Now the point, of course, was that even in the work of ministry, there is need to rest from time to time. The principle of rest was actually made a part of Mosaic law by means of the Sabbath observance. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, as God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he specified a day of rest for his people. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now it's important for us to understand that the point of the Sabbath day was to commemorate God's work in creation and to honor him by resting on the seventh day just as he had done. We recognize, however, that physically and emotionally, we need to rest from our work from time to time. It is not good or healthy for us to work without rest. At the same time, it is not good to work without rest and for that reason to neglect our service to God. That, too, was a reason for the Jewish Sabbath and is a reason why we should rest from our work in order to worship on the Lord's Day. In the same manner as for physical work, the scriptures enjoin upon us the need for spiritual work with the promise of rest as well. As we have previously noted from John chapter 5 and verse 17, the Lord told the Jews that his Father was working and he was working. The work they were doing was the spiritual work of providing the means by which mankind could be saved from their sins. Even after the Lord accomplished the work the Father gave him to do by going to the cross, he returned to heaven where he is still today working on behalf of his people. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, the scripture says, "But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." According to the writer of Hebrews, then, the Lord is still working, and for this reason, his people must still be working. In John the 9th chapter and verse 4, the Lord said, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Now the work he was sent to do, which we also are commanded to do, was to proclaim the good news of salvation by obedience to the gospel. Our marching orders are what we call the Great Commission, and they were spoken by our Lord himself. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." This is our work, and we must be doing it while we still are able, for the Lord will return one day, and it will then be too late to do this work. This is our spiritual work, but what about our rest? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus invited us to find it in Him. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, in the Lord's words, there are two aspects to rest. The first is rest from the burdens of sin. He alone can give this rest by means of the blood He shed on the cross. When we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins are washed away. This is what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. At that very moment, the Lord gives us rest by taking our sins away. At the same time, we take His yoke upon us because we have been purchased by His blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This binds us to the work of saving souls, which, if we faithfully pursue this work, will enable us to enter the eternal rest that is promised to the faithful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, the Scripture says, "So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His." Now, this aspect of rest is very important because it is the rest which is reserved only for those who have completed their work on earth, just as God completed His work of creation. When we take on the yoke of Christ, we do not lay it down until He calls us home. Paul spoke of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Now, Paul the Apostle went into the Lord's rest because his work was done. He had done all the work that the Lord had placed before him to do. And this is the truth that is found in the great blessing in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." The Lord's rest is for those like Paul, who have fought the good fight, who have finished the course, and who have kept the faith. While we are here on the earth, our spiritual rest is yet in the future. But let us not lose heart, for the Lord has promised us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We have work to do, but oh, what a rest is waiting for us in heaven. As we think about the things that we've studied together today, don't you want to enter the Lord's rest? If so, you must believe on Him and be baptized in order to be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, the words of Jesus. "Then, having been saved from your sins, take up His yoke. Do the work that He has given us as His people to do, and when our life is done and our work is completed, then we will find our rest." Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.